Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 160.
This week on the podcast, SCOTUS continues its move to the left as Scalia continues his slow descent into jiggery pokery.
Alabama and Bree Newsom show South Carolina and America that taking an offensive flag down is as easy as removing a flag.
And Bernie Sanders proves he's a contender by facing his first slate of attacks ever.
Bobby Jindal announces his presidential run in a homemade horror film.
And it now only takes two words to explain why abstinence-only education doesn't work. Bristol Palin.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
Holy cow, guys.
This was the week of all weeks.
Let's just get to it.
The whole SCOTUS bonanza.
The SCOTUS bonanza.
That's what it was. Yeah.
But even more than that, it was, too. But right. I mean, most notably the SCOTUS bonanza.
Right. Yeah. But this week had everything. Had all the things.
It had everything.
Yeah.
Right.
And we said that last week.
We did.
And we didn't even know this week was a possibility.
No,
we thought last week was as good as it got.
Yeah.
This week, we were proven wrong.
And I was watching on Bill Maher on Friday night. It was the last episode of his before he goes on break for a month. And he was like, well, I think we can just pretty much be certain that nothing is going to happen in the next month.
Because
it just literally all happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been the greatest 2 weeks in time.
Come on, people.
So, in case you hadn't heard, I don't know who you are.
Right.
But
you certainly weren't on Facebook. If you haven't heard, you weren't on Facebook.
Because we can all get gay married now.
That's right.
Anywhere in the country.
Some of the Republicans would have you think that you have to.
Right, exactly.
Right. You don't have to.
Is requiring you to get gay married, but should you be looking for a gay marriage, you now can do that anywhere.
That's right.
Any U.S. territory now fair game for gay marriage.
That's right.
The Supreme Court, after hearing 1 trillion of these cases, I feel like, in the last few years, I feel like every moment we're like, getting a little closer, but never quite there to actually just legalizing gay marriage, where they'll be like, well, you can't ban it, but you can't legalize it, and you gotta, you know.
Right.
Like, there was always some, like, caveat to the...
Exactly. Well, and, like, so many states have it now, but so many of the recent states have all been because of lower court rulings. So we needed this to sort of figure it all out.
Because, as we've said for a long time, if you want gay marriage in your state, the fastest way to do that is to ban it.
To get a ban.
Right.
Correct.
Just go,
ask your people to ban it.
Just go ahead, ban it.
Because that ensures a court will overturn it.
Exactly.
And then you're stuck with
it. It's pretty blatantly unconstitutional, so courts are usually having to rule, even despite themselves, as is in the case of this court, that it's legal. And then, you know, then you have gay marriage and you didn't even try.
That's right.
You didn't have to pass anything affirmative to be like, we actively are looking for gay marriage.
No.
All you had to do was try to ban it and then you can have it.
Yep.
It's that easy.
That's right.
So in any case, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that the U.S. Constitution bars states from denying marriage licenses to same-sex couples.
That's right.
Kennedy wrote the decision.
He's a Republican.
He was a Reagan appointee. But he's been the deciding vote in all of these decisions where I think he's just been like, guys, let's not be that court.
I know.
It's funny because he's written the majority opinion for all of these gay rights cases.
I know.
So he's like the Supreme Court gay rights, you know, hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think he wants to be that person, but here we are. We live in a world where we force that upon him. So, obviously, we can guess who voted against it.
We're
going to get to them later, because they really had a field day
with all their dissent. 4 of them felt necessary to write a dissent. They were all angrier than the next.
Right, and they were all just
more
like banana pants.
they were total
banana pants.
Yeah, they were.
And this was, I mean, this ruling came down after the ruling we're going to talk about after it, which was the Obamacare ruling.
Right.
And so they had already, Scalia had already written 1 banana pants ruling already.
Yeah, because that was...
The Obamacare dissent is pure banana pants. He makes up words in it. I mean,
it totally does.
It's totally nuts.
Yeah.
But so this was like... really firing himself up over that. And then he got this and it was like, he literally couldn't contain himself.
I know.
So in any case, there's the final paragraph of Kennedy's decision is the one everyone's blowing out over because it talks about love and marriage and...
Right. Well, that's what so many people, I think, were excited about. You know, I think a lot of people sort of, like, felt like this was maybe going to be the decision. It seemed like it was going there, but People sure would have liked it to have been 6-3, but who were they going to get the 6-1 for? Nobody likes to get the 5-4, but, I mean, you'll take it if you can get it.
Well, in this court, that's all you can have.
That's all you can get. Well, you got 6-3 in the Obamacare one, which is why all the Republicans hate Justice Roberts right now. But, he talked more about just law in his opinion, which I think a lot of people were sort of upset about because they really should only be focusing on the law. And on some level, I can get where they're coming from on that because they shouldn't really necessarily be getting into this whole business of, deciding who people can love on some level.
Right.
I get that.
Sure, sure.
But he did talk about that. So I think that sort of heartened a lot of people because it gave more validity than just, yes, under the 14th Amendment. But it went further than that, which sort of felt like it gave people a little bit more,
passion. Supreme Court passion.
And you shouldn't have to, live in the shadows this way anymore.
Also, I feel like the ruling was very much we should have common sense. It was very much this is something that at this point is just absurd for us to even be talking about.
Right.
The common sense states that who cares?
Yeah.
Why not just why are we worked up into this frenzy about this? Who cares who wants to get married?
Yeah.
So I feel like they were very much guys.
Come on.
Calm the fuck down.
Settle down.
Settle down a little bit. Uh-huh. Yeah. But so, in any case, the 11 states that currently don't have gay marriage do now.
Ha ha.
The 37 states that had it before still have it. And none of the ones that, there's no waiting period. There's no waiting until the states overrule their bans or anything. Right.
Well, there is if you're Bobby Jindal in Louisiana.
And I think in Texas too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, those are not, he's very clear in his ruling that is not. Right. The case.
Somebody did already get married in Texas, I think, because that was a big thing that was a story the next day or whatever, because there were a couple 80-year-olds that had been together for 1,000 years that got married in Texas or something like
Exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
No, so and he says in his thing, in his decision, individuals need not await legislative action before asserting a fundamental right. Which was sort of his way of saying, go forth and marry.
Now. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, we knew some states in the South would try to get up on...
Louisiana is the only state that has not issued one yet, because they asked Bobby Jindal about it on Meet the Press this morning.
Right, and he was civil servants shouldn't have to...
No,
something.
He said something about, how theirs was one of the ones that was in the lower court, and so they're waiting for the, he realizes that they're going to have to give them out. He was not delusional, but he was he claims that the lower court needs to, tell his state, when.
Okay.
It's that's not actually obviously, based on what you just said. But, I mean, he was at least sort of acknowledging that that wasn't going to stay like that forever. Which is sort of surprising to me.
Well, I feel my feeling about this is take it and move on. I was thinking about this a lot over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because you had to think about it a lot because everyone mysteriously got out their pride t-shirts. And not just t-shirts, but pins.
That's right. You said that yesterday.
I was surprised because I had to ask Brent if there was some sort of secret LA Pride rehash
round 2
going on.
Yeah.
Because I know it was, it's Pride this weekend in New York. It was Pride this weekend in San Francisco.
Right.
I think in Chicago. There were a bunch of prides going on. But we already had ours. And I noticed, I feel like it's one step farther to wear the pin, to find a pin to put on.
Yeah, who has a Pride pin?
I mean, everyone who went to Pride, but nobody still has a Pride pin.
No.
I had 3 Pride pins when I left Pride, and I don't currently have any of them.
That's right.
Because you immediately get rid of weird things that are handed to you at Pride.
Yeah.
People...
You threw them out with, the condoms and the whatever else they were handing out.
People were handing out, all sorts of random... I don't have a rainbow flag Disney logo either.
Oh, no, you don't. Mm-mm.
I didn't want to have that in the first place, but someone handed it to me. My point is, people dug up their Pride pins and put those on top of the Pride t-shirts they were all wearing this weekend. It was surprising to me.
Yeah.
So you had to think about it. But in any case, I was thinking about, I feel like this issue is ultimately a dumb issue. This is for the Republicans, this is a dumb thing that they picked a fight on because they're trying to convince a bunch of poor voters to vote against their own economic interests and they need wedge issues.
Yeah.
So they pick things like abortion and hating gays that they can really sink their teeth into and get everyone riled up about so that they can secretly, advance initiatives that are in the benefit of corporations.
Yeah.
That's what their goal is.
That's right.
These Republican nominees, these Republican sort of wannabe nominees, these Republican candidates... are all searching for the greatest giveaway they can find to give to corporations. That's their plan.
Yep.
And this is a dumb issue that they don't care about. None of them personally, I refuse to believe that any of them personally give two shits about this issue.
Right.
You know, they live in Washington. They all know gay people. They all could not care less if those gay people get married.
Yep.
This is not what's happening in this situation. Mm-hmm. They are trying to rile up a base of people that don't know gay people, that live in weird towns and weird parts of the country, that are that they want to coax into voting against their own interests. I feel like this is, like, unlike abortion, where there is, like, a procedural element to getting an abortion that they were able to, like, slowly chip away at, and they're continuing to chip away at. I don't see the same route for them here. Like,
no.
Once people, like, people are either getting married or they're not.
People are not.
There's not a procedure to getting married that we should be bothering to invest ourselves in. I feel like with this issue, take it, walk away, stop banning things so that you don't end up having to have marriages to the things that you do fear. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, I think Roberts in his thing goes on about how this will only lead to polygamy. I've been talking about how this should only lead to polygamy.
Right, and we posted a link from Politico
to someone else talking about that. But I mean, if that's what you fear, shut up. Stop talking about the issue.
Right.
Move on with your lives. Find another wedge issue that will divide people. There's plenty of them.
You can always find
people
one.
People hate each other. It's fine.
Guns. Tell everyone the Democrats are taking away their guns. That's it.
We just did it for you. Exactly. Like, there's so many of these things. Like, I feel like at this point, were I them? And that's almost kind of what a lot of the 2016 people seemed to be thinking they were going to do.
Let's move on.
Yeah. They were sort of like, well, then, okay.
Right. I disagree, but oh well.
Yep. Like, because that's all you have here. You don't have the same procedural things that you can try to, like, create hurdles that way here.
Not a one Ted Cruz, though.
No. He's going all in. He's
going
to get an amendment passed, and he's not afraid to
be
the only person who's going to get an amendment passed,
because
he currently is.
Right.
But we'll talk about that in a second. First, we want to talk a little bit about the dissent.
Yes.
The dissent, or the dissents. Four dissents.
All four of them. Mm-hmm.
The dissents were hilarious.
So good.
I mean,
so many gems.
Like, so many, like, grumpy, curmudgeonly men, old men, working themselves up into a frenzy about nothing.
Yeah.
That it just, like, can't even be believed. Our Chief Justice, Roberts, seems to think that this really isn't even in the court's purview. Apparently deciding which matters do and do not, like, how to define the Constitution, not in the court's purview. It's their only responsibility, but it's also not in their purview.
Yeah.
So he was sort of like, I don't see why we're even doing this in the first place. This isn't our job. States should be doing this. And a lot of them echoed that refrain that this was up to the states. And obviously the point of it going to the Supreme Court is that it's not up to the states. If you determine that people have equal protection under the law, then it is a constitutional issue.
Correct.
Like, you can't just decide at the state level. Yeah. Anyway.
And they've decided on marriage once before, so there's precedent. So it's not as if
there's... walked into this. This is their own problem.
Yeah.
But he also made, like, a lot of funny comments. Like, he was worried about this valued Aztec tradition going away. Which I would like to know where we were. Like, was he this horrified when we stopped, like, human sacrifice?
That's, like, what I was going to say. Like that.
Is the Aztec model the one that we're looking to follow?
Yeah.
He says, as a result, the court invalidates the marriage laws of more than half the states and orders the transformation of a social institution that has formed the basis of human society for millennia. From the Kalahari Bushmen and the Han Chinese, the Carthaginians, and the Aztecs. Just who do we think we are?
Right. Changing from the Kalahari Bushmen.
That's right. They knew what marriage was, the Kalahari Bushmen. The Aztecs, again, famous for elaborate human sacrifice ritual.
Let's go back to that.
That seems like exactly what we should want to do. Also, he's pretty worried about how we're all going to have kids now.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, I mean, the whole reason to get married is to procreate.
It's
as we've proven for millennia.
That's right.
As we've known for centuries. Mm-hmm. And has always been the case in fact.
Except not.
Except it's never been the case ever.
Right.
And then, also, I love he points out that the first Webster's Dictionary defined marriage as a legal union of a man and a woman for life. In other words,
is that the sacred document now?
Yeah. In other news, you know what else used to have a different meaning? The word hussy used to mean your wife. Used to mean the woman of the house.
That's good.
So yeah, let's go back to the original definitions of everything, shall we?
Uh-huh.
You know, why not? Also, his feelings are a little hurt. More than one of them pointed out that they were just mad that they were being vilified for being against this.
Right. I know.
I was like, well, you are being hateful and bigoted.
I was going to say, at least a few of them, I'm certain, are homophobes. Right. I don't know if Roberts is necessarily.
No, I don't think he...
I could see him maybe not being and just being sort of just like, you know.
I think he's curmudgeonly.
Curmudgeonly, right.
I think that's his problem.
Scalia, I think, probably.
Homophobe.
Yeah.
Not afraid to say it.
No.
I mean...
yeah.
Also, but the final point I want to make about Roberts is that he specifically says this is a slippery slope that is going to lead us to legalizing polygamy.
Yeah.
And guys, we do have the legal precedent for it now. So let's not worry about it, shall we? That's no. I've been having a lot of fun this week saying that to everyone, saying that I think Brent knows that I have.
Yeah.
But I do think that it provides a sort of valuable insight into the psyche of people that are against gay marriage, because the knee-jerk reaction everyone feels to the idea of polygamy being legal really is very similar to what people who knee-jerk just hate gay marriage feel. None of us know any polygamists, you know?
That's true.
Is a totally, like, foreign concept that we associate with these, like, weird compound people who live outside of Utah and are practicing weird fundamentalist Mormonism, or we associate with, like, weird free love cults from the 60s. But, I mean, this is not something any of us have personal experience with, and so it's easy to be, like, knee-jerk reaction, I hate it.
Yeah.
That is the very mentality that some of America has about gay marriage.
Right.
And it's sort of, so I feel like just in terms of, like, understanding how we can overcome that kind of thinking,
right,
it's sort of valuable to understand where it comes from,
right?
And that is where it comes from. It sort of just comes from, like,
not
you
knowing.
Thinking something that you don't know anything about is weird.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I've been having fun with that because I've been making this point repeatedly to people. I'm driving everyone nuts, but I love it. And everyone is suddenly feeling really bad about themselves for being so judgmental, and they should. In any case, Scalia's got the best dissent of all of them.
So good.
Well, maybe not as good as Thomas's. I don't know. His is pretty nuts.
Right. But his was more crazy in the Obamacare one. I mean, it was more angry here, but, like, all of his sort of, like, gems of the week.
He only
came
made
in the
up words in the Obamacare one.
We'll get there.
He's mostly just incensed that the five that voted in favor of gay marriage had the gall to do it. Like, they know what marriage is. And he, you know, he got, like, really sarcastic in his dissent where he was like, but really, what really astounds is the hubris reflected in today's judicial putsch. It's a Yiddish word. I don't know. These justices know that limiting marriage to one man and one woman is contrary to reason. They know that an institution as old as government itself and accepted by every nation in history until 15 years ago cannot possibly be supported by anything other than ignorance and bigotry. And they are willing to say that any citizen who does not agree with that, who adheres to what was until 15 years ago the unanimous judgment of generations in all societies, stands against the Constitution. Like, he's mad that they're trying to tell him what marriage is.
Right.
When he knows.
He's the knower.
He's the knower.
Not
them.
Not those other five.
Not those dumb women.
We should just listen to him always.
He knows.
He knows.
Yeah. No. And then he called Kennedy's decision pretentious and saying it was reminiscent of the sayings in a fortune cookie. But my favorite part is that he also threatens to hide his head in a bag.
Great. Do that.
Which, as my dad said, not a moment too soon.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
Because he basically says that if he had written the beginning of that opinion, the opinion which begins, "The Constitution promises liberty to all within its reach, a liberty that includes certain specific rights that allow persons within a lawful realm to define and express their identity." He said if he had written that, he would hide his head in a bag. Feel free.
Yeah, exactly.
Interestingly, Scalia joined Roberts' decision because they can all join each other's decisions, but Roberts did not join Scalia's because I think he was like, crazy person. Listen, we're all against gay marriage here.
Right.
All of us have uncomfortable feelings about the gays.
Yeah.
That said, let's not get crazy.
That's right.
Thomas went on a bunch of weird rants.
Yep.
Notably, apparently feels that things are fine for the gays because we're not physically restraining them or imprisoning them.
Oh, sure.
That's
right.
All it takes. We've assured their liberty by not physically restraining them.
That's right.
That's what liberty is.
Yeah.
The right to not be physically restrained by the government.
God.
He said... Petitioners cannot claim, under the most plausible definition of liberty, that they have been imprisoned or physically restrained by the state for participating in same-sex relationships. I feel like that's like this is a tactic people use when they're trying to change the argument. When you're like, well, this, you know, I don't have the same rights as everyone. And they're like, but you can't say that you've been physically imprisoned. And you're like, no, I can't say that. But that's not what I said anyway. So, like, he's just like a misdirect.
Yeah.
Like, what on earth?
I know.
And then he also says that The government doesn't have the ability to bestow dignity on gay people, just like we didn't steal the dignity of the slaves. So who's to say now that we need to do anything to support their dignity? They have all the dignity that they could possibly have given themselves. We can't take their dignity. Just like with the slaves, whose dignity we also didn't take by enslaving them. Like, it was like such a weirdly circuitous argument about dignity that he was like, well, we shouldn't do anything because we haven't taken, because we don't have the ability to take dignity from people.
Right.
But then bring slavery in for some reason.
And talking about dignity in regards to slavery coming from Justice Thomas, it seems like a curious choice.
Well, no, I think it's not a curious choice. I think that he felt like he was the guy who could say it.
Right, but he said it terribly.
He said something wrong, too.
He said something wrong. Right, exactly.
He said something that I think probably is, like, defied by his own family history.
You would think.
I mean,
I think that anyone from his family who was enslaved, if they were, would
probably felt the government was doing their damnedest to steal their dignity.
To take their dignity. That's probably exactly what they felt.
Exactly.
If you could have had them describe it to you.
Right.
That's probably what they would have told
you. Use the word dignity to describe what you're feeling.
I mean,
they might have said, I have dignity, but then they might have also said, the government is trying to take my dignity.
Right.
There.
And they did.
And they did.
That's what they were doing.
That's what they were attempting to do that whole time.
That's right. Yeah.
In any case, so that was a curious argument.
Yeah.
Also, thinks we're starting a religious war. No big deal. Whatever. Alito, mostly just mad about not feeling included, I think. He was like, he's just mad that we're going to be vilifying people for not adhering to this new, quote, orthodoxy. He's kind of a follower. I feel like Alito's not having thoughts of his own accord much.
Well, he certainly had the least bombastic of his own thoughts.
Right.
On paper, in dissent, anyway. I mean, the other guys all had some good zingers, and he just sort of, like, seemed
he
over
was
it.
Just, like, he was just sad that he didn't feel included in the cool crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Obviously, Obama was happy.
Super into it. Well, he had a good week in the courts.
Oh, yeah. He was just, like, not... he was winning at...
Everywhere
at
this week.
Judicialness.
Ness. It's not a word.
It's not a word. Well, no. We made it one.
Yep.
But he also said... his quote that everyone was quoting was, progress on this journey often comes in small increments, sometimes two steps forward, one step back, propelled by the persistent effort of dedicated citizens. And then sometimes there are days like this when that slow, steady effort is rewarded with justice that arrives like a thunderbolt.
Right.
It was a big thunderbolt week for him.
It really was.
Thunderbolt City.
Yeah.
As we said, the GOP hopefuls were sort of like trying not to really stir the pot here.
Right.
Obviously, Mike Huckabee got out and said that this was judicial tyranny.
Right. There were the few that wanted to stir the pot, and you can guess who they were. But
Bobby Jindal, not a man who was trying not to stir the pot.
Correct.
He said it would pave a way for an all-out assault against the religious freedom rights of Christians who disagree with the decision.
That's right. Well, that's the thing.
We're going to force them to get gay married.
That's what I have heard. The next, I think, argument that they are going to go for, now that they don't have this, and you were talking about sort of coming up with another wedge issue, is, and this, we've seen this happening, and, you know, it's sort of what happened in Indiana, it's been happening in other states, they're going to say that now that gays can get married, that you have to protect the rights of Christians.
Yes.
That's going to be the next...
This is infringing on their religious freedom.
That's the next frontier for them, basically. And they're going to get
the
all...
poor
of
the poor Christian majority.
Correct. They're going to get them riled up as if now... at their shitty Southern Baptist church that all the gays are going to come in and demand that they get gay married, which is, like, not going to happen because we all know better. I mean, nobody's...
Also, no one has ever forced a church to perform a gay marriage.
Correct.
The state has to perform
And that's
them.
What I
that
heard...
is different.
Well, and that's the thing that I have always sort of said is, you know, I mean, he sort of is like, well, these churches shouldn't have to do gay marriages
or
whatever.
They don't have to.
They don't
so
have to.
Solved.
I mean, gays... or I mean, churches...
Don't have to marry
anyone that they don't want to.
No.
I mean, I was actually talking to my mother about this, and she was like, in the church that I grew up in, and it was a tiny church, if this might have been more of a to-do if it was like someplace where there were more than like 11 members or whatever. But the pastor did not want to marry a couple because the woman was pregnant already.
Yeah,
and so he didn't.
So he didn't. Churches don't have to do that.
That was that.
They can make any
hands of that. I mean,
they can
that
make
it.
Any decision they want about who to marry and not to marry.
Right.
They can decide they don't perform marriages.
And the gays know what churches they can go to get married. I mean, we're not idiots, people.
Also, you don't have to get married in a church.
You don't.
Discussing right now is not whether or not you have the right to be married in a church.
In a church.
Nobody has the right to be married in a church.
Right.
You have the ability to be married in a church, but you don't have that right.
No.
you have the right to be married by the state so that you can merge assets and enjoy equal protection under the law.
Right.
That's what you have the right to do.
Right.
Churches are irrelevant to this.
Totally.
Because I don't, not a single member of my family was married in a church. They're all still married and enjoy the economic benefits of marriage. Like that's just not even the issue.
Yeah.
But that's what we're going to see talked about. Although I think that maybe isn't going to have as many legs as they want it to.
Because I think
it's
so
easy to shut down.
Yeah, it is.
Because then everyone's going to be like, they can't make me get gay married in my church or like allow gay marriages in my church. And people are going to be like, okay.
Okay, fine.
Right. You're right. They can't. Solved. We did it.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's going to be tough. Scott Walker thinks we need a constitutional amendment to fix this problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's worked so well in the past.
Yeah.
Having bans on gay marriage. That's been working swimmingly for them. So why not just do it at a constitutional level?
And this is not a... This is such a loser for them.
I know, just stop talking about it.
Especially for Scott Walker, who's a potential front runner and may end up being the nominee who's going to have to run in a general election. Like, don't say that.
No.
That's not the way.
That's not it.
No.
It's not solving mm-hmm. anything. Also,
Lindsey Graham announced that he was getting gay married.
Right. No, immediately.
He didn't do that, actually.
No. But the rest of them just went on about how they were going to work to protect religious freedom.
Right, exactly.
A thing that you don't need any help doing that.
No.
Just sitting in a chair is doing the work that needs to be done to protect religious freedom. At least for Christians.
Yeah.
There's probably religious freedom issues for Muslims, I would imagine.
Probably.
And other people. But there's not for Christians.
No.
They're having all the religious freedom that they can stomach.
That's
so
right.
That's an easy one. You just say it, and then you're doing it.
Yeah.
So that's what, like, Lindsey Graham said that. Rick Santorum cited Dred Scott, and he was like, see, they're not always right, the Supreme Court.
Yeah, well.
Classic. Okay. Rick Perry. Talked about how the founding fathers didn't intend for the judiciary to legislate from the bench, which is hilarious because that's what the conservative court has been attempting to do this whole time.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, trying to overturn a policy that was passed by Congress.
I know.
That's legislating from the bench, guys.
That's
I didn't
right.
see any discussion of that when the Obamacare verdict
looked
like it was maybe in peril. Like,
yeah.
In any case, John Kasich, who's, by the way, running for president, we'll have
that
announcement in a second,
uh-huh.
Is kind of disappointed, but said he'd move on with his life.
That's right.
Ben Carson, oddly, was like, well, I'm for civil union. I was so surprised about this.
Ben Carson, I think, missed the memo of what he was supposed to be
doing. Yeah, he's not clear on what...
He echoed Hillary Clinton's position
from 10 years ago.
Right.
That's what he did.
Not even that long ago.
Not from 4 years ago.
Right.
But I mean, like, what he did was echo the Democratic position from not that long ago.
Correct.
Not realizing, I don't think, that he was supposed to talk about protecting religious freedom.
Yeah.
It was weird. Because he said that he was fine with civil unions, which, by the way, is what we have. If you define civil unions, and that's why I always think that we should call any state marriage civil unions anyway. If you define a civil union as a state-bestowed union...
Yeah.
Then that's what we did.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't bestow the right to get married in any house, any religious house.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Marriages are a church thing. I feel like churches can handle that. They can discriminate against anyone they want to. They're horrible. I discriminate against them. However, giving same-sex civil unions is what we did.
That's right.
Solved.
Done.
Marco Rubio, he's going to live, you know, he's going to survive.
Yep. Disagrees, but we're going to move on.
Jeb Bush.
Same.
Same. He knows that we need to love our neighbors. But also doesn't love his gay neighbors as much as he loves his straight neighbors, so whatever. Chris Christie's in a pickle.
Right.
Because Chris Christie has to sound like he's against gay marriage while also explaining that he allows gay marriage in his state.
In his state, right.
So that's tough for him. So he had a sort of roundabout explanation that didn't make any sense for what his position was.
Yep.
Carly Fiorina said it should be left up to the states. She's not a thinker. She's not a person I even care about her position on. But she is running for president, so we put it on this list. Donald Trump is running for president.
Yeah, that's right.
And so now he's on this list, too.
That's right.
He said it was another example of the Bush-appointed Supreme Court Justice John Roberts letting us down. Donald Trump is really in it to destroy Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
That's his plan.
Yeah.
He doesn't have...
Well, he's close, too, by the way.
I know.
I think we have those poll results later, don't we?
Sure do.
Yeah, we do.
It's exciting times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then it was Pride this weekend, conveniently timed, in all the major Pride centers.
Except here.
I feel like, though, if you were like, I'm gay in California and I want to go to the most exciting Pride, like, you'd probably go to San Francisco,
go to San Francisco.
Like, you're not trying to go to the West Hollywood Pride Parade when you could go to, like, San Francisco's. Right. Hub. Like, that's like a gay hub. Yeah. This was the hub weekend. Right. All the big hubs had their pride parade this weekend. So obviously LA is lame, but like, what are we going to step on San Francisco's pride? We're not that cool.
No.
Interestingly, there were some interesting counter protests at the pride parades that were being waged by gay sort of like subgroups. That were being hashtagged Blackout Pride.
Oh my.
That were basically, and I saw this a lot on my Facebook, I imagine.
It was not part
of your Facebook
experience.
I mean, this whole weekend has been an interesting Facebook experience for
me.
Because obviously there's a lot of people that are just
doing rainbow photos,
just like doing the thing or whatever. I have a lot of people on mine being like, who I think were like never really aligned with this focus for the gay rights movement in the first place, who are now like, I think panicking that gays are going to be like, we did it. And now we're all rich Republicans, you know, like, cause this is very much a white gay person's issue.
Yeah.
You know, this is, oh, and we've said that before on the podcast plenty of times. This is sort of the rich white person's, you know, struggle. That's never been said. But so because of that, there were a lot of people concerned about how this, you know, suddenly we're not going to talk about the fact that like, you know, young, like among the sort of teenage and youth homeless, something like 40% of them are gay. Like there's still a big problem with gay homelessness or gay youth homelessness.
Sure.
There's still big problems with, you know, the trans community is not accepted to the degree that
we can still be fired in a lot of states just for being gay.
That's the one that I think is really has been really like the sort of rallying cry of the far left activists is they've been like, we don't have equal protection laws.
Right.
It's like, oh, great, we can get married, but like we can still be fired for being gay.
Right.
So that has been a big discussion. So because of that, and I think also there's a lot of feelings sort of like in the minority gay community that their needs are not really being represented in this struggle, because like being married was sort of like probably on the bottom of their list of like life concerns that they had. But so in any case, there are some blackout, you know, pride protests going on. So I thought that was interesting and worth mentioning. And I already bragged about the Politico polygamy thought crime piece.
Yeah.
I'm going to brag about it again.
Keep doing it.
I'm a genius. I'm ahead of the curve.
That's right.
I've always said that.
We always are.
We always are. This podcast, by the way, guys.
Come on.
Way ahead of the curve a lot of the time.
Yeah.
If you want to know where things are heading.
Yeah.
Stick with us.
That's right.
We'll show you.
Yeah.
In other exciting news, Obamacare did it.
Yes. That's
6-3 ruling, as you said.
That's right.
I noted it wrong on the list. So now
6-3.
Justice
Roberts for the second time on Obamacare.
Like, he's well. I feel like this is one of the kind of precedent setter that they don't even want to touch.
Well, and this was you and I have to, we've talked a lot about this case specifically.
Mm-hmm.
This case was
dumb.
There's no other
dumb
word for it
case.
Than dumb. I mean, we can talk about we can come up with different ways to tell you it's dumb, but
that's
at its base, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was sort of, you know, about whether these states that are running off of the federal exchange would get to keep their subsidies, because there's like one line in the bill
like
that like
something
makes
is
it,
like misworded,
right? And
basically.
So people were like, you know, now the court's deciding on intent. Like, the court decides on intent all the time. That's
right.
I mean, the court has been doing that since the beginning of time.
That's
ridiculous.
Really,
and also,
part of what the court is
and
for.
And as we discussed many times, a lot of these plaintiffs in this case didn't even have any standing because some guy could have been, you know, getting VA health care. One woman lied about her address, so she could have been getting subsidies from where she actually lived. I mean, it was suspect on a good day, this case. The fact that this wasn't 9-0 just shows that the three who were dissenting weren't paying attention.
They're useless.
Yeah.
They were just sort of like, Obamacare, no!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what was what they were
voting. This was like, you know, a total slam dunk. I have a Republican coworker who, you know, asked me what I thought about the Obamacare ruling that morning, and I was like,
I don't see how a thinking person could...
That I didn't give a second thought to. I mean, it was great to wake up to that, I guess, on some level. Had I woken up to something different, then I would have been shocked, because there was literally no way that this could have gone in any other direction. There was just zero chance.
It was too
because
bonkers to
all
have done
the,
that.
Any thinking person on the court, which I guess is this six, would have decided as they did.
I think what we've learned, though, is that only 2/3 of the court are thinking people.
I know.
And that's concerning.
That's upsetting.
Yeah. That's a problem. Also, my mom got into a screaming match with her congressperson about
this. Over this.
Yeah.
That's great.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
He told her that he knew who she was and he was watching her, too. And I was like...
Yeah, like Big Brother style
also,
watching
she thinks that maybe he mixed her up with someone else.
Oh.
But also, she thinks that maybe her congressperson shouldn't threaten her.
Well,
which
I think
is what
maybe
I think.
She's right. Yeah.
I'm trying to encourage
her... She had a great, like... three stanza haiku.
Oh yeah, she went on a haikuing binge about this.
It was pretty great.
She was not kidding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in any case, as we said, Scalia's dissent, possibly because it's so like horribly desperate in this case, is also hilarious. He was like really punchy last week.
Yeah.
He was like, he was like kind of like sarcastic in a way that made me think that he like might have a dumb but existent sense of humor.
Right.
Like
maybe.
Like yeah. I, he well, was he just and so Ruth like Bader Ginsburg grumpy.
Were supposedly like besties.
What?
Yeah, didn't you read this piece? It was like making the internet rounds. They're like they go traveling together and they're like the Supreme Court duo, those two.
I bet he's the funny one. Well, he's obviously a lunatic, but he's got to be the funny one.
Yeah.
He used the word jiggery-pokery in his dissent.
I know.
That's not... A person with no sense of humor has never used the word jiggery-pokery.
No. He said that we ought to start calling the bill SCOTUS care.
I know.
Which was good.
Hey.
Whatever.
Let them have... Well, that's... Fine. You know, at first... I was talking about this with my mom earlier because we were both like... You know, at first we felt kind of hesitant about calling the... Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, because it had this sort of negative connotation as the way that, you know, and we talked for a while on this podcast about how we were only going to call it the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
Then, as we correctly predicted, it was a smashing success.
Right.
And so then we were like, well, it's Obamacare then. So
right. Yeah,
he's the guy who did it. We did it. That's that's part of his legacy. Yeah. So I feel like to saddle them with the legacy of Obamacare would teach them a lesson, wouldn't
I agree.
It?
Yeah, it would.
Show them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will call it SCOTUS care.
Fine.
Fine. You want to, You want to mess with us? We'll name this landmark legislation that you hate after you. We're not afraid.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in another part of his decision, he said, the court's next bit of interpretive jiggery-pokery involves other parts of the act that purportedly presuppose the availability of tax credits on both federal... He used the word jiggery-pokery is the point.
That's right.
Of that. In a decision.
Yeah, he also said something was pure applesauce.
Is that a saying?
No.
I've never heard that
before. Never heard that either. No.
He was just like getting progressively grumpier, and so he was just like saying gibberish at a certain point. But so, in any case, he had a couple other like attempted zingers in this decision that were, I don't know ultimately that zingery, but he said it's bad enough for the court to cross out by the state once, but seven times.
Oh my.
Ba-doomch. Like, that's how I feel about this.
Yeah.
But I'm excited that someone finally got in there and used jiggery-pokery in a decision that's going to go on to the permanent record of America.
But can we start using that?
I mean, we're going to, obviously. We have no choice. Yeah. And I'm going to start calling everything pure applesauce.
It's so good. Like, what is that?
What could that mean?
And didn't he... What was the... What
Does
was
applesauce
the line
have a connotation of any sort?
I don't know. But didn't he also say something about, like, you need only ask the nearest hippie or something?
Yeah, he said something about... And that was not, I don't think, in his decision. I think it was when... Like, something he said or something?
Oh, got it.
I could be wrong. But he said something about...
decisions.
Yeah. He definitely...
hippie talk.
He definitely mentioned something about needing only to ask the nearest hippie to know about...
Yeah.
Basically, I think, trying to call this bill socialism or something. Right. It was some in that kind of context.
Right.
Yeah. No, he went on a real bender this week.
Yeah.
Real word bender.
A+.
Yeah. Good work.
Yeah.
Scalia's really showing... I mean,
he was winning at losing, as I like to say.
Hopefully, he can lose more often, because he's obviously one of the most entertaining losers out there.
Well, there was a lot of talk this week about, you know, I mean, the court has had some bad decisions lately. We need not look further than Citizens United, you know, fairly recently. But, I mean, it was a pretty big move to the left, because there was another case that, had we not gotten these two huge cases that happened, I think they announced the same day as the Obamacare one, that was also pretty huge, too, because it was on whether you have to prove intent in discrimination cases, like in housing discrimination cases.
Oh, right.
And that was 5-4. And that was such a huge surprise, actually. The people on the left and the Obama administration had been actively trying to not get this case heard in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Because they were certain that it was a lose for them. And they won. And that was almost more shocking than either of these other two cases. It just wasn't sort of like as big. But I mean, that was more of a shift to the left, really, than anything. But it was, I mean, this was like a liberal court this week. And in theory, it's not.
It's not a liberal court by the numbers.
No.
But I also, I think that at a certain point, this is something that I think Kennedy has really been struggling with, obviously, is there's a point at which you become sort of like a landmark court for the wrong reasons. Like, where, and he's the guy who would have taken the blame for that, you know?
Yeah.
He, all of this really, like, rests on him personally.
Yeah.
It's like how Ben Nelson got to derail half of healthcare reform.
Right, exactly.
Ben Nelson, all of it was on his shoulders because he was the vote they needed to make this happen,
yeah.
You know? And that's, or he, you know, he was part of a, like, a group of only a couple people who had the power to make or break this situation.
Yeah.
And that's really what Kennedy has to struggle with. So when he, if he's going to go and create a landmark decision that is landmark in its stupidity,
right.
that blame really only rests with him. Everyone knows how the rest of these guys are going to vote. Three of them aren't thinking at all. One of them's an idiot. You know, four of them are always going to be progressive. Like, there's not, like, a lot of wiggle room there. And, like, when you think about what it would be to rule, to make a decision on Obamacare that immediately robs 6 million people of their health insurance,
right.
Like, that's different. That is legislating from the bench on either side. Just
right.
taking that case was legislating from the bench. And if that's what you're going to do, you can't, you don't want to be the guy that just, like, robbed 6 million people of healthcare.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
That, doing that is different than just letting them keep what they have.
Yeah.
And, like, moving on quietly.
Right.
Letting people get married is easier than trying to actively stop them from getting married.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want to be that guy.
Right. Yeah.
Thank God.
I think you're right. I know.
Thank God he's not a complete idiot like the rest of them.
That's right.
Although I wish that they all had better jokes. I think Scalia has really shown us that there's a
yeah, the other eight are lacking.
The other eight are not as funny as they could be.
Yeah.
In any case, in other news, in terrible news, TPP is getting ever closer.
Another win for Obama, loss for America.
I know.
You know, whatever.
Senate voted to advance the fast track bill.
Right. I think we talked last week that the House had passed it because they sort of passed it without the TAA. They sort of passed it.
So what happened was the Senate was kind of, there were 14 Democrats who were pro-trade who were like, we are not going to pass this bill and then let you guys not pass the TAA. And then the House was like, no, seriously, we are going to pass the TAA. And they were like, I don't know. And the House was like, no, seriously. And they were like, okay, free trade for all. And then everyone signed off on it.
Yeah.
But it only passed 60-37. So it was
just at
the margin it needed.
Yeah.
And oddly, Ted Cruz pulled support at the last minute because I think he was probably mad about the TAA pass. I think Ted Cruz pulled support because he was angry that we were trying to limit the reach of the free trade or something
Right.
like that. It was like something ridiculous like that. But so in any case, the final vote is expected to come sometime this week, probably before Thursday. And then it's going to happen, guys. And it
That's
heads
right.
to Obama's desk.
Where it will get signed.
Where it will get signed.
Yeah.
Because
yep.
that's what he does.
That's right.
In flag news, there's a lot of it.
So much flag news this week.
I never
Who would have ever thought
in my lifetime we'd get to have this much excitement about the Confederate flag. I've been trying to stir the pot on this issue for years.
Yeah.
And I've never succeeded.
Yeah.
Because no one seemed to care.
Right.
Alabama was just like, fuck it, let's just take it down.
Like,
they, unlike South Carolina, they did not have a law that prevented anyone from touching it. So their governor was just sort of like, I can't deal with this. Let's just take this down.
Yeah.
He literally said, he was asked whether this had to do with Charleston. And he said, yes, partially this is about that. This is the right thing to do. We're facing some major issues in the state regarding the budget and other matters that we need to deal with. This had the potential to become a major distraction as we go forward. I have taxes to raise. We have work to do. And it was my decision that the flag needed to come down. He was really firing on all cylinders. He just admitted he had taxes to raise. Like, what's going on in Alabama
right now?
I know, it's crazy.
Right? Yeah. Probably something similar to what happened in Kansas,
where they first cut all the taxes.
And then realized they didn't have any money left.
Right. And then they were like, damn it.
Math doesn't
work this way. But so in any case, he just sent some people out there and they just took all the flags down. They took four flags down. They took the Confederate flag down and then all of the sort of like Confederate era flags.
Yeah.
Because something that I had not realized, but I have heard recently since this all happened, is that the Confederate flag, as we sort of like know it and understand it today, didn't really rise to prominence until the 50s.
Interesting.
It was not something, it wasn't like the flag that the Confederacy was like fighting under. They had a lot of different flags in the Confederacy.
Huh.
This was not, they had other flags that also should stop getting waved, you know, should stop waving. But this flag in particular was really part of a like weird civil rights backlash.
Right.
And so not only does it not stand for what we're pretending it stands for in terms of like heritage, our proud heritage, it also like explicitly stands for racism.
Right. Well, and that's,
which we knew, but also I didn't realize it was like explicitly just a civil rights innovation.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, and that's that anybody who tells you that that was just about, you know, honoring some sort of like weird past is like,
There's some pasts you don't want to honor.
You're lying. You are flying. The only reason that you need to show that you are a person who like want that it's only to show that you're racist.
Right.
It's only, much like you and I have always said about guns. I reread our gun blog recently because we were reading our blog this week for some
reason.
That's
what we do, guys.
That's what we do. We read back and then just talk about how great we are. But I read that gun one and we talked about like anybody who has a gun has thought about
killing somebody.
Another person.
Right.
And I refuse to believe any other way. Some people may say otherwise. Gun owners would probably fight me. And I would just call you a liar. Because I think that if you own a gun, you have dreamt about killing someone.
There's literally nothing to do with a gun except injure something. Right. Like, it doesn't do anything helpful.
Similarly, the Confederate flag only exists currently in 2015 to show to someone else that you are a racist.
Exactly. Right. There's not some other heritage you're commemorating with that. Like, I'm a person who... you know, had relatives in a war. Like, that's not
your game.
Because you are an American citizen living in America, in territory that has always sort of been America.
Right. And you may have had someone who fought in the Civil War.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm sure they fought honorably.
Right.
But you know what? The Confederate flag is not, that's not the way.
No, that's not the way.
Yeah.
Also, when you are the losers of a civil war, you just pretend you weren't involved and move on with your life. That's what you do in a civil war.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
It's like crazy to have to be explaining this to people in 2015, but here we are.
Yeah.
But so in any case, they just got up there, removed the flags, took them down. Everyone was fine. We all moved on. World didn't burn down.
That's right.
South Carolina, though, not doing that.
No.
South Carolina
Someone did that in South Carolina.
Well, right. South Carolina. So what was that? People were streaming in and out of the Capitol. You know, Reverend Pinckney's funeral was this week, and so there was a lot of discussion about that. It was on Friday. People in Mississippi are talking about redesigning their state flag over this situation.
Right,
all other states are involved.
Right, the Confederate flag is baked into the Mississippi.
It's like in their state.
Yeah.
I mean, in their state flag.
We learned a lot about state flags
God.
This week.
All
there
of them
are a
are
lot,
bad.
We have 50 terrible state flags,
there's not a single acceptable state flag out there.
Mm-mm.
We should all redesign our state
flag. What I said about the South Carolina one was the reason that they were flying the Confederate one was to distract from their terrible
horrible,
actual state flag, which is that... palm tree looking thing, which apparently is a palmetto tree, which they have. They're the palmetto state.
Doesn't matter.
Tree, and then there's like some weird moon or something. It
looks insane.
It's so weird looking.
Half of the flags look like they belong to a communist republic.
Right.
Half of the flags look like they were designed by a kindergartner.
That's right. They all have bears on them.
Using logo writer. They all mysteriously have bears on them. I know. A lot of bears. A lot of like flags within flags for some reason.
That's
I don't know what that's about.
No, I don't either. They're like state seals on flags.
A lot of state seals on. That's the easy way out.
Right.
Then you have a state seal, and you're like, well, we'll just stick that on a piece of fabric. We got a flag.
Yeah.
But they're all of them.
They're terrible.
Look stupid.
Yeah.
There's not.
Yeah.
I think it's time to do away with state. I don't think states should be trusted to have flags. They've proven in 50 cases that
they can't
be trusted. There's not a single state that has proven themselves up to this task.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think eradicate it.
Yeah, I agree.
We have state flowers. That's enough.
That's,
you know,
that's right.
It's plenty.
Yeah, birds.
In any case, so this is all going on. South Carolina, people are just looking up this flag, thinking to themselves, is this flag ever going
to
come down?
Right, because the legislature
Because the legislature has to deal with it, and they're not planning to.
No.
So finally, this 30-year-old woman, Bree Newsom, just gets up there, scales the flagpole, and takes it down herself.
Done.
Easy. Easy as pie. Meanwhile, I want to point out that the flag was padlocked to the flagpole.
Like, I mean, they were hell-bent on keeping that up there.
Like, this flag is staying up here until we say so.
That's right.
But so she came down, took the flag down, and then she got arrested, and now might face, like, 3 years in jail or, like, a $5,000 fine. She was working with a group of activists.
Right. They can't put her in jail for that, by the way.
No.
They just can't.
Just don't. Like, don't have done that.
Right. Like, I understand if you feel the need to do something because that is, in fact, illegal. You cannot throw her in jail for 3 years. You just can't.
You just can't do it. No, that's not.
No.
That's, I feel like.
At that point, you may have just left it up.
Right, exactly.
You know?
And they put it back up, and then they had a pro-Confederate flag rally later that day. So, South Carolina, things are going predictably over there.
Right, exactly.
But Bree Newsom is a Twitter hero.
She was an
important hashtag of this weekend.
This weekend, yeah exactly.
So, that was pretty exciting. Also, everyone knows that I love any action of, civil disobedience.
Yeah, totally.
Like this.
Yeah.
It's like what I dream about.
No.
So I couldn't have been more excited about this whole situation.
Yeah,
also,
it was pretty great. Because there was video of it that got posted and everything. I mean, it was
And she,
great.
Like, really, she had, like, climbing gear on. So
yeah,
she looked like she really prepared.
Well, she would have had to have.
She had. You can't just climb a flagpole without preparing.
No.
No. I know. I see stuff like this, and then I'm like, she's, like, kind of the same age as me. I feel like I should be doing more exciting things.
That's right.
In any case, her and James Ian Tyson, who's someone who's with her, are both facing like charges of defiling the flag or something. I don't know, something like that. And then in other news, the funeral on Friday was big news.
That's right. I watched eulogy.
Right. I did not. It was because of speech making.
And right, exactly. Although you watched, what speech did you watch? You watched some speech?
No, I listened to Obama on Mark Maron. Oh, that's right. That's a podcast. That's different. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
We'll get there in a little bit. But I watched it because I like speechery.
Right, yeah.
And this was a lot of people were saying sort of like him at his very, very best. And
including at his song singing best.
Yes.
He sang Amazing Grace.
That's right. And I was talking to my office mate who is black, and I was like, here's the thing that I'm learning. There's a lot of quality organ playing going on at black churches.
Yeah.
That I was not aware of up until this point.
And I feel like these are the things that a lot of religions...
Like, a lot of, like, call and response things going on, like, with whoever was, like, speaking and whoever was playing the organ.
Well, that's... Good stuff. A much more fun way to do church.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like the time that I went into an Upper West Side synagogue for one of the many bar and bat mitzvahs I had to go to and realized that they were, like, the Torah sounded, like, really show-tuny in their hands. Right. And I was like, oh, I guess this is what we're doing here. Like, I had been sitting through boring, you know, droney Torah readings in a language I don't understand for months at that point. Yeah. And I got there and I was like, you guys are you're dancing to the Torah. That's not something I even thought possible. Yeah. But here we are. They had hired a Broadway singer to like a lot of the time you're not aware of the musical possibilities of the religions that you're not a part of.
That's right. But I mean, the eulogy was great. And he talked a lot about race. He talked about the flag.
Right.
But, you know, he talked a lot about also, you know, he was like, every time something like this happens, you know, people say we need to have a discussion about race. And he was like, we've had enough discussions about race.
Yeah.
That was a great, you know, and he like talked about sort of like the type of racism that, you know, still exists and just, you know, sort of, you know, saying that it does still exist. Right. I think so many people, you know, like to claim that we have moved past that and things like that. But he had like a great line where he was like, you know, we need to start thinking about, you know, why we might call Johnny back for a job interview, but not call Jamal back.
That's a good line.
Was really good. And like, you know, he sort of like really, I think, like hit on a lot of sort of like feelings that, you know, the people who were there certainly, you know, have, and things that are definitely still going on that just obviously need to end.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it was just, but it was also, you know, very emotional and, you know, just because it was a eulogy, obviously. I mean, it was, we were at a funeral. I mean, that's where we were.
Right. So, if it was hilarious, that would have been a weird time to break out his humor.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
But back to flag news. Basically, everyone has decided to stop selling Confederate flags too.
Right.
So now, I guess independent online retailers have an opening.
That's right.
Because while Walmart, Amazon, eBay, and Sears all announced they were going to ban sales of flag merchandise, 24 hours after this Charleston incident happened, Amazon's Confederate flag sales like shot up 2,305% or something.
Of course they did.
Like,
yeah.
I mean,
well, the racists were concerned that they weren't going to be able to continue to fly the flag.
No.
So they had to get all
they
of
had
the,
to get
this
all
is what
of
always
them.
This is what always happens after like a big, you know, a shooting happens. Everybody goes and buys guns because they are, you know, they buy into the, oh my God, the government is going to take our guns away when anybody starts talking about gun control. So as soon as Alabama took the flag down and South Carolina started talking about taking the flag down, all the racists were like, must buy flags, Amazon.com, gah. You know, I mean, I don't know what
voice Obama actually specifically talked about that gun phenomenon on Mark Maron's podcast, by the way.
Oh, he did.
And I have never actually heard him just sort of like say it that overtly. And I was kind of excited.
Yeah.
Because he was like, that's what's happening. Like people are rushing out to buy guns because they think government goons are going to come take their guns. And that's crazy.
Right.
In any case.
Even though we endorse that.
We endorse that. I'm happy to have government goons take everyone's guns. It doesn't seem like they're up to the task is my concern.
I would agree.
In any case, if we're going to be banning Confederate flags all up and down the place, Sean Hannity was wondering why we can't also ban rap music.
Oh, interesting.
They have bad language in rap music, which is somehow
not related
to the flag, and for reasons that weren't clear.
Interesting.
He went on like a weird tangent on his radio show on Thursday, where he was asking about, you know, how he was saying, like, you can't buy, you're not going to be able to buy Confederate flags at all these retailers. And then was like, can you still buy a Jay-Z album at Walmart? Does the music department at Sears have any Ludacris albums?
Does that exist? Sears music department?
I don't think so.
I don't know what Sears
he shops at. I would guess none of them. So I don't know that he would know that. But
I do know that you can get CDs at Walmart because I definitely did that a lot in college.
Here's what I know about the CDs at Walmart.
We would go at midnight on Monday because CDs came out on Tuesday, and then that's when you would buy the CDs that you were really waiting
for. I'm so depressed.
I definitely bought more than one Britney Spears album at midnight.
I'm really depressed that your childhood and teenage CD buying was at a store that automatically edits all of their CDs.
Yeah, it was at Walmart.
Yeah. That was. Sorry about it. I remember as a teenager being really incensed that Walmart edited all of their CDs. I knew at Kmart you could buy an edited CD, but you didn't have to. Mm. I knew that at music stores you didn't ever buy an edited CD.
Sure.
But at Walmart, us teenagers in New York where we had no Walmarts were really incensed that Walmart was insisting on editing all the CDs.
Well, I was buying like teenage girl music at this point, so it wasn't needing
it. Wasn't a lot of editing going on, no. But I that was like a big political issue for 16-year-olds when I was 16. Yeah. But so in any case, he's just wondering why we're letting rap artists go on using the N-word and the B-word and the H-word.
Hmm. Interesting. Which one is that?
I'm not sure what the H-word is. Is it ho?
I don't know.
The rest, like, I know what the other words are. The N-word is the only one that we actually call the N-word, though.
Right.
I think the B-word must be bitch, right?
It has to be.
But and the H word.
You can say that on Fox News.
Right. Yeah, he could have.
He could have said the word.
Could have said the word.
But H, I don't
know. I don't
know
what the H word is.
Is it
ho?
Hoochie mama?
Yes.
Is that
hussy.
It?
Hussy. But so, in any case, and he said, and racist, misogynistic, sexist, and anti-woman slurs.
Right.
I love that he knows those exist.
Right. So Sean Hannity is now in favor of.
He's a feminist now.
He's a feminist, and he's also against the First Amendment.
Right. Yes. Yeah. He's an anti-First Amendment feminist now.
That's right.
We finally figured him out. He also then, for some reason, went on a tangent about how he just doesn't get Prince. If anyone wouldn't get Prince,
it'd be Sean
Hannity. It would be Sean Hannity.
That's right.
Rush Limbaugh is concerned that government goons are going to come and take away our flags, our American flags.
The American flag is the next.
Because while we're banning flags, why aren't we just banning more flags? Of course, this could only lead, this is a slippery slope that only could lead...
That's right.
To banning all flags.
Pretty soon we'll have no flag and polygamy.
That's right. It's like, what kind of country do we want to live in, people?
That's right. Well, so many people, did you see all of the tweets that got compiled? I think BuzzFeed posted them or somebody about everybody
moving
wanting
to,
move to Canada,
yes.
Where they have gay marriage and national
and have
welfare.
For years, for like a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a that's a
great.
Classic.
Bye.
Right. Go ahead. That's a classic maneuver of idiot people anytime that any
something.
Policy that we're 20 years behind the rest of the world gets passed.
No.
They're always like, off to Canada. I'm like, feel free.
Great.
Pick up some healthcare while you're there.
That's right.
It's free.
Yep.
So in any case, Rush Limbaugh is concerned that liberals will claim that the American flag has flown over places where we've, you know, had bigotry and discrimination and racism. So it symbolizes those things.
Take it down.
So we should just take it down. I'm sort of like, I don't care. I'm not a flag person, you know?
I didn't. Well, as soon as I read this, I was like, I bet Lila doesn't care whether
no,
we have the flag
take away
or
the
not.
American flag, too. I don't give a shit. Like, with, like, these, like, dumb patriotic symbols are just, that's a fascist thing to be obsessed about.
It is. Yeah.
Fascists love flags and symbolism.
Yeah.
I could care less about that kind of
yeah.
stuff. You know, you take away all the flags. What do I care?
Yeah.
We already have determined that the state flags have to go.
Right.
Take away the American flag, too.
Right.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know?
At least the American
slap an eagle on stuff, call it a day.
At least the American flag isn't such an eyesore.
That's true. Yeah, not like some of the idiocy that...
No.
State level Mm-mm. idiocy.
That's right.
Even states that are bigger than many countries did not get it right. It is shocking to me. Like, California...
Come on.
There's 52 million people here or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, that's enough people to find a decent flag.
Yeah, it's a giant bear.
Like, how hard is it?
And
there are countries
says,
in Europe that have better flags than that and have like 17 people in them.
That's right. Yeah.
I bet Luxembourg's flag is better than the California state flag. I don't even know if people live in Luxembourg. But I'm sure that they have a better flag than we do. They would have to.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. And in final flag news, CNN had a real issue.
They did.
At London Pride.
They were certain, guys, that somebody at the London Pride Parade was flying the ISIS flag.
Breaking news.
And how could that pop? And the woman who was reporting on this couldn't. She was like, I don't, am I the only one noticing this? Is anybody else seeing this crazy ISIS flag? They weren't, actually.
They weren't. She goes, if you look at the flag closely, it's clearly not Arabic. Mm. In fact, it looks like it could be gobbledygook. Very distinctively an ISIS flag. Mm. ISIS flag. It was not gobbledygook.
No.
It was dildos. It was dildos.
Yeah.
Some butt plugs, too.
That's right. Yeah.
Just, you know, your general assortment of various sex toys.
That's right.
Flying on a flag.
Yes.
That was arranged to look like the ISIS flag.
Right.
On purpose. To make a joke about ISIS.
But it was very clearly... It was clearly not that.
And also, everyone was seeing it, and they were just all understanding what it said. She said, I seem to be the only person who spotted this, and nobody seems to be raising any questions or pointing it out.
Right, it's because we're all looking at it.
Like,
come on, lady.
This is a reporter, guys. Not just a kindly old lady from somewhere that's never seen a butt plug. This is a reporter.
Yeah.
This woman was reporting on the gay pride parade.
Right.
She'd probably seen a butt plug within the last five minutes.
If she'd done seconds of research before going to a pride parade.
She could have seen all these things. That's all she would have needed.
Right? Okay? I mean, God.
In related news, basically everybody is setting fire to black churches now.
Oh, great. So, perfect.
Now that we've solved racism,
we can move on to more racism.
To more racism and arson.
Yeah.
There's, you know, just a bunch of lone wolves out there, colluding lone wolves who are setting fire to black churches
around
the South.
Probably immediately before or after they bought a Confederate flag at Amazon.com.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, who is reporting that 5 predominantly black churches caught fire in the last week. 3 they think are definitely arson. They're not positive about the other 2.
Yeah.
But 1 in Knoxville, 1 in Macon, Georgia, 1 in Charlotte. And then there's 1 in South Carolina and 1 in Ohio. Those are the ones that they're not positive yet. But they have said that the fires, quote, might not be a coincidence.
You think?
So it seems like we have a church arsonist on our hands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So thank God it's just lone wolves, crazy lone wolves out there. Thank God there's no larger societal issue to face here.
Yeah, that's right.
Now on to the presidential news.
Presidential news.
This is it, guys.
Yeah.
This week was all great.
Some more people jumped into the race. We got some more exciting poll numbers. We found out some people are going to be jumping into the race soon. There's like 79 Republicans.
We're getting to the point where only the most hilarious people are jumping into the race.
That's right.
So it's like everything that we could have dreamed of. To begin with, Bernie Sanders faced his first attack this week.
On two fronts, actually.
On two fronts.
Right.
From Claire McCaskill, who was on Morning Joe, and said, she said, I think the media is giving Bernie a pass right now. I very rarely read in any coverage of Bernie's that he's a socialist.
It always says Bernie Sanders.
The only socialist. Right, it's like it gets mentioned literally every time he's casually mentioned. Right.
You can't say the name Bernie Sanders without also mentioning
that
he's a socialist.
It's like people have Tourette's when they can't not say socialist after saying Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
It's all that gets said about him. And then she also, I think, foolishly went on to say any other candidates that had numbers that Hillary Clinton had right now would be talked about as absolutely untouchable.
Well, now, that's not true.
Well, no, they would be.
Well,
just like the last time Hillary Clinton was untouchable. What we know...
We have a history playbook for,
for this. Is that you aren't actually untouchable just because we're calling you untouchable.
Right.
A few weeks ago, that's what we were already calling Hillary Clinton.
Right.
It's only been a few weeks since she was untouchable, and now here we are having to claim that if she had these numbers at any other time, she'd be untouchable.
Right, exactly. Well, and we talked about this last week because they had some, you know, Hillary shill on one of the morning shows who was
she's
sending out her people and they're all going after Bernie, and she's not doing it herself yet because I think she still probably is rightly at the point where she doesn't necessarily have to do it herself, but she's the minions are out she had somebody last week we talked about it talking about how she might lose Iowa, New Hampshire, all the primaries, you know.
It's no big deal though.
Right,
we shouldn't worry that she can't be the president if she loses all the primaries.
Now she's got Claire McCaskill who
goes on to say, I think Bernie is too liberal to gather enough votes in this country to be president, and I think Hillary Clinton is going to be a fantastic president.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Go screw yourself.
So,
Claire McCaskill, by the way, not a judge of who is and is not too liberal to do things.
Right. But just the fact that you are seeing statements like this starting to pop up from people is proof positive.
Really exciting sign.
That she knows that at least something is up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. Meanwhile, Martin O'Malley's Super PAC released an attack ad. Yes. Bernie was like, an attack
Wait,
ad
what?
For
I know.
Me?
That's
like,
exciting.
He's never had an attack ad before. It says, Bernie Sanders is no progressive when it comes to guns.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Bernie Sanders has this funny thing where people on the, not even on the far left, people who are just normal people who are rating him on various issues often act like he's somehow on the far right in terms of
when
guns.
When it comes to guns.
He's from a rural state.
Right.
He's not in favor, like we are, of taking all the guns out of all the hands.
Correct.
He is very much aware that guns in an urban setting are very different than, like, game, like,
and that is exactly what I watched him interviewed this morning. He was interviewed on This Week with George Stephanopoulos, and that was exactly what he said. He was like, I come from a rural state. People have guns here. And he has a D-minus from the NRA. Okay.
Yeah, right.
He voted against the Brady Bill, which is what he sort of like, that's what everyone points to sort of like as the, and you know, I'm with him on that, I guess. But he's voted for every single assault rifle ban that has like come in front of his face.
He's in
voted
favor
for,
of gun
he's
control,
in
guys.
Favor of gun control. So like, I understand that Martin O'Malley is trying to run to everyone's left, but like, it's not,
he's also
working.
Not on Bernie Sanders' left.
No,
like
he's
Martin
not.
O'Malley has, in terms of guns, he, I think, has a different perspective because he comes from a state that has a city with some gun violence issues in
That's
it.
Right.
But Bernie Sanders basically says, like, I come from a rural state. In my state, people hunt for sport and things. That's a thing that people do here. He also says, though, on the other hand, rural America has got to understand that guns in Vermont are not the same thing as guns in Chicago, where they're used to kill kids or shoot at police officers.
Right.
He acknowledges that guns in an urban setting are a different thing, and that that is something that rural America needs to acknowledge as well, that we can't just go on pretending that just because we want guns for hunting that we need to tolerate this. I feel like this is the sort of... Remember when Kucinich was running and suddenly everyone was like, he's pro-life? And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I feel like this is kind of like what is going on here, where this is the only issue they can pick him apart on.
Yeah.
And sure, I would love for him to be against all guns everywhere because that's where I am. But he's certainly at least in line with all of the Democrats who are currently running on this issue.
Yeah.
If he's not to their left, he's not to their right.
Right, exactly.
So, like, we don't have a better option.
Right.
So, like, anyway, it's kind of exciting that attack ads are starting to fall.
Right, I know.
But, you know, it's kind of exciting that a Martin O'Malley is having to attack ad a Bernie Sanders.
It is exciting.
Because Martin O'Malley is about as middle... milk toast of the total middle road as you can possibly
exactly.
be.
Exactly. But I think it's obviously going to be, the battle is to, I mean, they're all trying to catch Hillary.
Right.
But before they can even catch Hillary, they all have to be the only other person other than Hillary.
Exactly.
And so that's why you're, because I think a lot of people were sort of like, your first thought is attacking Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Like Bernie, you know, Bernie Sanders is in
but
second
they can
by
also,
a long shot.
They can distinguish themselves polls, but, from him.
Right, exactly. So it's like you have to sort of, you have to be the only person who's not named Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Like that has to be your goal. So
and
on that
currently,
level, it makes sense.
It's making it really hard for non-progressives to be that person when he has all this excitement for being the progressive.
Right, exactly.
Like, and has, as I think I said last week, as I've been saying all over the place, literally nothing to lose. They couldn't have set this up worse for themselves. They picked the one person who's sort of vaguely in the party who doesn't owe them shit.
That's right.
And now they're trying to figure out what to do with him because they were able to get rid of Liz Warren. They were able to get rid of, you know, all the concerns on the left they got rid of by being like, but you need us and we need you. We all need each other.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders, they already screwed him over.
Doesn't need shit.
He doesn't need
Bernie
shit
Sanders.
From them. Yeah. And they can't get anything from him. Like, there's no exchange going on here.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to play their game.
Yeah.
So he can do anything he wants.
That's right.
But in any case, here's why all of this is starting to percolate.
Right. Because it's basically tied in New Hampshire.
The polls
right
are
now.
Getting crazy in New Hampshire. New Hampshire, by the way, is polling crazy on all fronts. Because we're going to talk in a little bit about
the GOP
poll. But I would like to point out, in reference to that, no one in the GOP poll is polling higher than 14%, I think, or 11%. Bernie Sanders is polling at 35% in the Democratic primary.
Yeah.
Like, the Hillary and Bernie are polling as if they're the only two people in the race.
Yes, exactly.
And in the Republican field, no one is even polling at a quarter of the electorate. Like,
no
one knows what's going on.
There's 100 of them.
There's 1 trillion of them. They're all polling at, like, 5 or 6%.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, I think, we'll get to that poll.
We'll get to that poll
in
a little bit.
Yeah, nobody has a higher than 14%, I don't think.
But this is... The margin of error for this poll is 5.2%.
Right,
so
it's basically tied.
He's within only a couple points of being statistically tied with her.
Yeah.
Like, for...
Wow.
This is a fringe candidate, guys.
I know.
This is what happens to her all the time. Poor Hillary, but also screw yourself. But, like, it's like, boggling my mind that these polling numbers are
so exciting.
Happening this way. I know. Yeah. It's like everything that you could dream of.
It is.
In an exciting primary that the Democrats went out of their way to avoid and now can't stop.
Yeah, that's right. And it's only going to get closer.
Yeah. Right. As we said, it's half the people who aren't voting for him just don't know who he is yet.
Just don't know. Right. Exactly.
And then they will.
And I also think, and he talked about this in this interview this morning too, he is not, he's doing well with like older whites right now. Yeah. And I think that people just don't know him yet.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people...
Old people know him because he's old.
Right. But a lot of the people who don't know him are non-whites.
Right.
And he talked this morning in that same interview about how he was really going to, like, do outreach toward that. I mean, this is a man who was arrested, you know, protesting in the civil rights movement.
Right.
He did the March on Washington. And, I mean, he's...
He's got a record to appeal to minority voters.
He has a better record than anyone else in terms of... I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton was married to the, quote, first black president. But beyond that, I mean, she doesn't really have any specific... And I'm not saying that she's, like, wouldn't be a good candidate for that crowd. But, I mean, like, he has stories to tell about that.
Yeah. And has had a sort of lifelong investment in civil rights issues.
Right. So I think the more that he can get that story heard, the closer... Because they showed the polling, like, with non-whites was, like, 91-3. Or something that. Like, that will be easy to... He'll never get it 50-50, but I mean, he can certainly he can certainly get more than 3%.
He's got a challenge in that he's, like, a million years old, so he's got to figure out how to not look like a stodgy old white man.
Yeah, he'd be the oldest president we've ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that we're being left with such crappy options, it's like, suddenly we're having to... Like, remember when we just mercilessly made fun of John McCain for trying to do the same thing?
Yeah.
But, like, at that time, we had, like, options that were not a million years old. Currently, I don't feel that we do.
I don't either. No.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump, a person who's running for president...
He's in.
Since declaring, has also been walking around making horrible comments about Mexicans.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so because of that, Univision was like, you know what? We're not going to show the Miss USA pageant after all.
Yeah, screw you.
Because everyone in Mexico is, like, really incensed. They're, like, selling Donald Trump piñatas. Like, Mexico is not having Donald Trump right now.
Yeah.
And so Univision was like, we're not going to show this pageant. And then he decided to sue Univision. And I think also tell them that they can't golf on his golf courses, which is a hilarious threat.
Right, no.
He has decided that their contract is ironclad, so that they can't get out of showing the pageant.
Right.
So, in any case, when you call all Mexicans drug dealers and rapists, you have a...
Yeah.
It's like you're maybe going to piss off Latino voters.
Right. He's had a hilarious quote where he said, I love the Mexican people, but I'm running for president and our country comes first, which,
like,
is...
What about loving America requires you to equate Mexicans with being drug dealers and rapists?
Exactly.
That's not math.
Yeah.
That's not...
But that person who just said those things that you said is polling in second place in New Hampshire right now.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's some context, though. 29% of New Hampshire voters are undecided.
Of course they are.
In the Republican primary.
How do you pick from the slot? No, it's...
Jeb Bush is 14... Is pulling up 14%.
Running away with it at 14%.
Literally killing the rest of the field at 14%.
That's right.
Trump in medium second at 11%.
Yep.
After that, no one is even in the double digits.
Nope.
Scott Walker's at 8%. Rubio's at 7%. Carson is at 6%. I think Christie is at 5%. And then Carly Fiorina, Rand Paul, and Ted Cruz are all at 4%.
I'm surprised Rand Paul... Sorry, just yawned. it's been a long day.
Guys. I'm surprised Rand Paul in New Hampshire is polling so low. They're libertarians over there.
Yeah, right? Like, that's his spot.
I know. In a state where Trump is polling at 11%. And, like, things are really off the rails right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're loving an underdog right now in New Hampshire.
I guess so.
On both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
They're not kidding around.
That's right.
In great news. Dream news.
Yeah. We
thought maybe it wouldn't, but Chris Christie's going to announce on Tuesday.
Right. And I'm glad that he is because, A, he's going to be like a fun, ridiculous candidate.
He's going to be the Rudy Giuliani of this
field. And also, it's going to be more exciting to talk about his fall when...
He falls from a...
When we get all of the sort of information that we're looking for from Bridgegate, when those trials start, like, later in the summer. These were the reasons that you and I we actually thought that he probably would not actually end up running, because there are just too many things that are going to be coming out in the next few months as he's trying to be a candidate that are just going to be too damning for him. And now that he is an actual candidate, it's going to make those things all the
more exciting. He, I think, is a person for whom hubris really wins all.
Totally.
Like, he's looking down the barrel of the most horrifyingly embarrassing political dissent that I could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what? I'll sign up for it.
That's right.
I'm not afraid. Let them embarrass me.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm already embarrassment proof because I'm such an embarrassing
person
to begin
period.
With.
Period. Yeah.
But so it's not, he's kind of like focusing his efforts on New Hampshire. He's been in Iowa. Like, he's not really caring much about Iowa because who in Iowa is going to vote for him? Like,
no,
nobody.
He can't win Iowa.
He can't win Iowa. But also, like, who on earth is going to vote for him?
I mean, at least 14 of these people can't win anywhere.
No, I know.
Which is what makes the whole thing so comical.
So wonderful.
Right?
John Kasich also is going to announce. He's not going to announce till late July.
That's right.
We talked, though, about what kind of... this is a clear run for the VP slot.
I think so, too. Although I am not totally convinced that he's maybe not dark horsey here.
I think that in a world in which reasonable people are looking for a reasonable candidate,
right,
he's someone who could really make a go of it.
Right.
I'm not sure what world we're living in right now,
it's
so I couldn't tell
one.
You.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if they're looking for the Mitt Romney of this race and they just feel like Jeb Bush is too stupid,
right,
because he is,
yeah,
this could be sort of like their new generic white person.
He's like a more charming version of Mitt Romney and Jeb Bush.
Yes.
Like, he is the same as those people, just generally in his
right.
boringness, but he is also infinitely more likable as
yeah.
just a person to listen speak to you.
Right.
Which I feel like is maybe where he gets the little yeah. like extra push.
Right. I think if he can sort of get into the game.
He's got that he's got the sort of like folksy charm thing going on
yeah.
for him.
I think there's a chance though
but he also took the Obamacare subsidies.
Right.
So that might disqualify him from a Republican primary.
And also, but he, I think the reason that they think he might be a good VP pick is because he's from Ohio.
Correct.
So yeah. you only pick a VP candidate from, although my mom has a definitive idea of who's going to be the VP candidate, and she's refusing to believe anything else.
I think I know who it is too, but tell me who she thinks.
Nikki Haley.
Oh, see, I think that it's definitely going to be a woman, but I was going to say Martinez of New Mexico.
Hispanic
lady. It's like two boxes.
Nikki Haley, though, has the benefit of being from an early primary state.
No, that's true.
And she's currently in the news.
That's true.
She's currently relevant.
That's true.
My mom is refusing to accept any other offers on this issue currently.
Yeah. She's also, she's currently in the news, but she's permanently stupid.
Right. Well,
so
I'm not convinced
but
that.
But they went the stupid vice presidential.
Martinez might be too smart. For
well,
this.
Perhaps.
You know, she's like a legitimate person.
But, yeah, that's true.
She's had reasonable thoughts in her head before. That's not what they're looking for usually
right.
in a female VP candidate.
Right.
They're looking for like an idiot person.
That's right.
And that's what they get with Nikki Haley.
You definitely get an idiot person.
You get an
Nikki
idiot
Haley.
Person. And that's what they want. I feel like I see this. What I don't see is a white man being the candidate.
I agree.
This is
I
not,
do agree with that.
This is poor John Kasich, but like this is just not his year.
Right, because it's not going to. They're not going to end up with a woman or a minority as the actual
right.
candidate.
There will be a man candidate.
So they need one of those
they
things
need
on the ticket.
One thing they
at
can't run Ben Carson. He's a lunatic.
Right.
Bobby Jindal has crazy eyes.
Right.
And also
performed an exorcism in college.
And once performed an exorcism in college.
Right.
Like I feel like there's only a few women. I mean, Carly Fiorina is a non-entity.
Right.
There's only a few women in the Republican Party to begin with.
Right.
And I feel like of the options of people who seem like general people who could, you know, have a resume that supports the idea that they could be, you know, worth
run
having,
the
run the country.
Yeah.
Like, you really only have a couple of options.
That's right.
And I feel like
the vetting process should be simple because you only
right.
have to vet two people.
Exactly. And they really, their options, generally what they like to do is go with the least reasonable of their reasonable options.
That's true.
And so that's what I see them doing.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll buy that.
Speaking of, Bobby Jindal announced. Here's how we did it.
Super creepy.
Super creepy way. He tweeted that he, at like 5 p.m. or something, that he was announcing.
Yeah.
And left a link to a series of surveillance videos of his backyard where he's explaining to his kids that he's
right,
going to run for president.
Put cameras in the tree by his back porch.
Then chose to sit in the one seat where
you can't
see
him. So you can see his wife and his children, but you can't see, you only see his, like, legs sticking out from a chair. A disembodied voice
is explaining, and, like, a nose to sometimes, his children. Is explaining to his children that he's going to run for president and insisting that one of them likes the popcorn in Iowa.
That's right. I know. You like Iowa, yeah, right?
Like, it's like, it's just like him asking leading questions to his children about how much they like Iowa from behind a tree in surveillance video. It's so, bizarre. Weird.
It's really ridiculous. Yeah.
So in any case, he's polling at around 1%, yeah. And, you know, mm-hmm. there's more than 12 people
which,
in the race.
As Chuck Todd pointed out, he's polling at about 1% approval rating in his own state currently.
Right. So it seems only fair.
He's got a similar problem that Chris Christie does, right. Where Chris Christie is polling, like, negative 1% right. in his home state right now.
Yeah.
So you can't, that's one of those things where it's like, if you can't, if I mean,
if you've tried to rule a mini version of the country and you failed, right. I don't see what makes everyone think, well, give him a bigger stage.
You've become disqualified.
Right. That's
Bobby Jindal is disqualified from being president.
Yeah. That's, yeah. For many reasons.
I was going to say, he's not going to be anyway. Right. So disqualification is just moot right. at this point. It doesn't
why
matter.
Why bother?
Yeah.
Here's a funny thing.
This is, I think, my favorite news of the week, which is just too bonkers
so
to be believed.
So it turns out that you can't name a super PAC after right. the name of the candidate
right. well,
that
you know
it
how there's, like,
supports.
You know how you're not supposed to be, like, you know, in collusion right. with your super
where
PAC or whatever.
You clearly are.
But you're clearly, that's exactly what you are. They're right. doing your bidding for
there's
you.
There's literally no other reason right. to have a super PAC.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not a world in which those are two separate interests.
But you can't, apparently, have the name of the candidate in the super PAC.
In the name of the super
PAC. In the name of the super PAC. Yes.
Right. So, like, Jews for Cruz having to change their name.
Right. They've just been told they have to change their name.
They're a super PAC of negative three people, but they're a super PAC nonetheless.
But Carly Fiorina's PAC was called Carly for America.
Right.
So she was asked to change it. Guess what she changed it to? Carly for America. If you're wondering how that works.
She managed a feat of logical twist. What is that?
Twist. I don't know. What were you about to say?
This is pure applesauce.
It's pure applesauce. It's pure applesauce.
What's the word that he used? Jiggery pokery?
Jiggery pokery.
Jiggery pokery. This is pure jiggery pokery.
That is. So it's now an acronym.
Yeah.
Carly is an acronym. Conservative, authentic, responsive, leadership for you and for America. Carly
so
for America.
It probably wins the prize as having the longest super PAC name.
Yeah.
And also, just change your fucking super PAC name. Who cares?
Come on. It's what's... It's too what? Crazy.
It's too ridiculous.
It's too crazy. Yeah. Oh, boy. Anyway.
Meanwhile, so Obama was on Marc Maron last week, which I think we mentioned.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about the N-word controversy.
That's right.
But I finally listened to the interview.
Good for you.
Which I felt good about. And I felt like the one thing that I am worried about now is that there is literally no candidate currently in the field who could tolerate an interview that is, like, aimed at a young audience, that it's, like, and come off as, like, not a lunatic. Like, yeah. I was trying to, like, I see what he's doing here. Mm-hmm. He's in the process of creating a legacy for himself.
Yeah.
He's trying to keep younger voters sort of in the fold while he still can. He's trying to sort of, like, do the outreach he can while still president, because I think he probably sees that this upcoming election is not going to be the one that gets young and minority voters invested in the process.
Right.
So he's trying to think of, like, interesting ways to reach people and help kind of, like, redefine a lot of the issues that are just polarizing nonsense that have nothing to do with anything. So he's doing things like going on Merit, or he's been on Between Two Ferns. Like, he's done stuff like this before. But I mostly spent my time listening to it worrying that there was no hope for anyone else being able to reach this
to
audience.
Do this. Yeah.
It was interesting because Marc Maron used to be, like, a left-wing radio commenter.
Yeah, he was on, like, Air America and stuff, right?
Right, and he was trying to have an interview that wasn't about policy because he's, like, a vaguely conspiracy theorist left-winger. Like, you know, he's, like, kind of out there.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to kind of steer away from politics, and he didn't really succeed. But but Obama did, I feel like, make a good case for, like, remaining optimistic. Like, as I posted today on Facebook, like, we're not necessarily people that would call it being optimistic.
Sure.
We would, we call it the double negative thing.
Yes.
Where you should assume terrible things are going to happen, but that you can undo them.
That's right. Yes.
Nothing can't be undone, as my mother gave us the famous words of my mother. But it was sort of, like, nice to hear him talk about how he thinks that, like, when you really, like, look at the sort of direction that we're moving in, yeah. that things are, like, improving overall.
Yeah. yeah.
Which he sort of made a good case for.
Well, and I think that also this week, you know, he gave this last week. I think if this interview would have been this weekend, he could have really given the case for it. Because, I mean,
when he talks a little bit about these cases in the interview, but he sort of says about the Obamacare one specifically, where he is sort of like, listen, like, this would be terrible, but this sort of doomsday scenario where it destroys Obamacare forever is not really what happens in this situation. What happens is that states that have exchanges learn that it was a great idea to have an exchange.
Right, exactly.
And hopefully other states realize that
Congress could have rewritten that one sentence.
Right.
Like, which he probably wouldn't have done because they're terrible.
No, but there's still the option of states setting up exchanges if that's what... he was like, it's not that... It has to be a catastrophic scenario. It's a stupid thing. It was just stupid.
Right.
He was like, this is a stupid case. It's not the sort of doomsday that we're pretending, but it's stupid and I'll be disappointed if it is.
Yeah.
But he also, I think, knew that there was no way that that case could hold water. But in any case, it was an interesting interview.
Nice.
And I was also excited to hear.
Was it the first time he'd been on a podcast?
I think it probably was.
Probably was, right? I feel like
I was excited also to hear that he grew, because I didn't read his books.
I tried to once, but I think I have one of them.
Yeah. He basically grew up in, like, a non-religious setting with, like, a single mother who was kind of just, like, a far-left kind of, like, semi-hippie, which I was kind of excited about because I felt like that explains to me a lot of, like, the things that I do like about him, you know?
Right.
Like, I felt like, I know he had to kind of play the game, the Christian game, in order to get elected, but I feel like he's been kind of logical about what it is to be, like, a good person and a bad person in a way that is outside of religion, and that when he makes these speeches about race and all these, you know, things like that, like, that kind of comes through. And so I felt like I understood where that came from.
Yeah.
In any case, podcasts. Go podcasts.
Yes.
Meanwhile, this crazy story in New York is finally wrapped up, where these escaped convicts were on the run for, like, 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
On Friday...
Wait, did they finally catch the other guy?
They finally catch...
Oh, they didn't even know.
2 hours ago.
I'm so wildly unprepared for this podcast.
No, I mean, it just happened.
Oh, good. Okay,
it literally just happened.
It probably happened while I was singing patriotic music. It happened
while you were singing patriotic music to old people in Laguna Hills.
All right,
No. So the first guy was... They finally found the guys. The first guy was killed on Friday by officers who found him, like, he had, like, shot out some camper, and then they, like, heard him cough and, like, chased him through the woods
Friday was bonkers, guys. Because Friday was the gay marriage ruling. After the gay marriage ruling, Obama gave his response in the Rose Garden, immediately walked from the Rose Garden to get on whatever vessel took him to go speak at
the Clementa Pinckney
funeral and give the eulogy there. And not long after that eulogy was over, while the world was still... posting
really,
his
from
Amazing Grace all over Facebook, then we're off shooting this escaped convict in upstate New York.
No, it was a wild day.
It was wacky.
So the other guy remained on the run.
Right.
They thought they had him in a perimeter, but they hadn't caught him yet.
Right.
So just hours ago, they finally caught him. They shot him twice, but he's still alive, and now he's back in police custody.
Oh, God, I hope he can tell the story.
I know. He was in Constable, New York, which is, like, right on the Canadian border, so they think he was going to Canada, as you would in this situation. That's where you'd go.
Yeah.
But what an end to what is a made-for-film
story
from the get-go.
No, that's going to be
once your prison tailor is baking tools into raw meat, into frozen meat, in order to give you the tools to escape prison.
That's it.
You don't even need to have escaped at that point. No, you already have a movie there.
You don't need a screenwriter either.
No. No screenwriter should be allowed to try to... Like, this is... I feel like I only want, like, someone to write the actual events and then people to interpret them on screen.
Yes.
I don't feel like a screenwriter is necessary in this case.
You just
having
need,
the
like,
right dialogue need, isn't helping anyone
here. You need scene descriptions,
You need a treatment, and then you have it.
That's it.
Just put those guys in a jail, be like, this is the scene where you get the raw meat with the tools. And then just, like, let, you know, figure it out from there. And in final news, Bristol Palin... letting down America and her family yet again.
Not America.
No.
She didn't let us down.
Giving
at all.
A gift to America.
That's right. Yeah.
And letting down her family.
That's right.
And it's so weird the way she chose to share this news. Bristol, she's pregnant again.
She's pregnant. Yeah.
And she claims that she had to take, you know, she had to announce it because trolls were trolling her or something. She said, so she's announcing it sooner than she expected due to the constant trolls who have nothing better to talk about. But then she wrote that her pregnancy has been and will be a huge disappointment to my family and
That's
asked
right.
for privacy. It's so hilarious
I know.
That she chose to just state that.
I know.
Like, she's
She didn't have to tell us that.
Massively insecure.
I know.
In a way that's really uncomfortable for us.
Her baby's really going to love that, by the way.
Right?
When she grows up and realizes.
Sorry, you were a huge disappointment.
Right.
Like, this is bananas.
Yeah,
this is a crazy way to announce that you're pregnant. Because I feel like normally what you do in this situation is even if you're like, damn it, I got pregnant again.
Yeah.
You're like, we're so excited, a baby.
I know,
like, you just pretend.
Yeah, I know,
you don't tell America that you're embarrassed about it.
Interestingly, she announced this right after she cashed her final check from the speeches that she gave on abstinence. No, I don't know if she did that.
Yes.
But that is how she's been making her money lately.
That's what she makes a living doing.
That's right.
She makes a living getting engaged to people that she doesn't actually end up marrying.
That's right.
And then also delivering speeches on abstinence.
That's right.
So, obviously, this is also taking a career turn for her.
That's right.
Nothing else. And proof that abstinence-only education does not work.
Does not work.
Even on the people that are telling you that it works.
Yeah, so she really did... She did America a service here.
Yeah.
Everyone.
She proved that even if you don't realize abstinence-only education doesn't work, that it's not working.
She gave the left its definitive proof.
Right.
So the next time Texas tries to say that they're going to preach or teach abstinence-only in the schools...
we can say Bristol Palin.
That's it.
It's the word.
Two words. Done.
Yeah.
You don't have to elaborate.
Nope.
You don't have to go on. We know.
We know.
So, thanks, Bristol.
You did it.
That's right.
And we did it.
That's right.
That's it. That's all the news. We went long again because so much news.
How could you not this
week? How could you not this week?
Yeah.
We will be back next week.
That's right.
With what maybe no news. There might not be news left. I'm not really sure.
We might have run out of news.
But chances are, because everyone is running for president now.
Probably not.
We'll never run out. With that's 15 right. people running for president, you don't run out of news at that rate, you know?
Yeah.
I'm shocked, by the way, that every single person that we thought might maybe run for president, if we
actually
really put
did.
Our minds to it, actually is jumping in. I'm so excited.
Right, because a few of them were sort of like, well,
there were some maybes.
Like, did we really think Donald Trump was going to get in?
Did we think John Kasich was going to really jump in?
Chris Christie, we said that we didn't think was going to. Like, there were a
lot
of people
were all
who were
maybes.
Like, right. And not anymore.
Not
no
a single
longer.
Maybe has turned down the call.
That's right.
In any case, so we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.